And while Brazil, just recently, in the middle of April, celebrated its National Day of the Indian, a new wave of dam building in the Brazilian Amazon is threatening the lives of remote Indian tribes. Reading up on the website of Survival International, a non-governmental organization working for the defense of indigenous peoples' rights around the world, I discovered that Brazil is home to some 200 tribes who live scattered across the country. Between them, they speak a huge number of languages, and the tribes range enormously in size, with some numbering tens of thousands of people, and others only a few dozen. I also read that in the 500 years since Europeans arrived in Brazil, the tribal peoples have experienced genocide, killings, and the loss of much of their land. Today, their land is still taken over for ranches or industrial projects, such as the dam building I mentioned, notwithstanding international recognition of the rights of indigenous peoples and widespread expert agreement regarding the precious role they play in preserving biodiversity and countering climate change. Survival International's campaigns coordinator, Fiona Watson, told me more about their dramatic predicament.
In a number of areas in the Amazon, on a number of different tributaries, there are a whole series of hydroelectric dams planned, and this is all part of the Brazilian government's desire for, they have a program actually that they launched about 100 days ago called the PAC, which is the Program of Accelerated Growth. And what they're doing is encouraging as much agriculture as possible, industry, and this is going to have very profound effects for the Amazon forest and its inhabitants, particularly the indigenous peoples. The reason that they want to build dams is to produce more energy to fuel industry and agriculture. But the indigenous peoples are totally opposed to the dams because they say that this is going to destroy their way of life. Many of the peoples living, for example, on the Xingu River and the Juruena River are predominantly fishing people, so they rely almost entirely on fish for their protein, for their food, for their diet. And of course, being indigenous communities, they get their water directly from the river. So it's extremely important that these rivers are kept flowing and are kept clean. And the hydroelectric dams are going to threaten their fishing. There's already a lot of silting and drying up of the headwaters of many of these rivers, particularly the Xingu River, where the agricultural frontier, particularly soya, is right now on the headwaters, and they're simply drying up. So having the dams is going to only make this problem worse.
Doesn't the Brazilian constitution protect the Amazon from this kind of interference?
Well, there are good environmental laws and indeed indigenous rights recognized in the constitution in Brazil. The big problem is how are these enforced and put into practice? And what you're seeing here really is this sort of clash of certain people, particularly the governor of Mato Grosso state, where many of the planned dams will be built. He is one of the world's biggest soya producers, and so he wants to develop at all costs, whereas the indigenous peoples are saying, no, we want sustainable development and development that takes into account not just sort of money and growth, but it respects people's culture and their rights. So this is becoming an increasingly entrenched battle. And the problem is that even though you have the laws, they're not really applied, or if they are applied, they're not applied in the right way. One of the things that is happening now is that the president of Brazil, President Lula, has announced that the Environment Agency is going to be split into two because he's complaining that they're taking too long to approve environmental and social impacts for large projects like the dams. But many people think that, you know, if the social and environmental impacts are not done correctly, this is going to be used by these powerful industrialists to do already. I mean, I've seen one of the social impacts assessments, and it's an absolute joke. I mean, it simply isn't a proper scientific assessment. But these sort of things might be approved rapidly now, and therefore, you know, people's environmental and social concerns really will not be addressed.
Now, I see in your report that a big dams project was in fact abandoned in 1989 after huge protests were staged. Do you think there's any possibility the same thing might happen again today?
I think it could well happen because already a number of indigenous peoples along the Xingu River, in fact in one area, the Paranatinga Dam, that's already partly being constructed, and it was stopped because of the protests by the Mehinaku people, and the Ikpeng people have also been protesting, and they've gone into the areas where the works are being carried out, and they've confiscated equipment. And they, I think they feel this is the only alternative they have to make their voice felt. They have to take peaceful but direct action. So I wouldn't be at all surprised that, you know, as time goes by, if the indigenous peoples feel that their concerns are not being properly addressed, and they certainly aren't at the moment, there may well be mass protests like we saw in 1989, where you may remember that there was a huge meeting organized by the Kayapo Indians, and all sorts of people, you know, famous personalities were there, and the Kayapo traveled abroad, and they went to protest in Washington at the World Bank, who were going to fund the dams at the time. And in fact, that was a very successful their protest, because all the international media were there and the World Bank pulled out, said it wouldn't fund the dams, and the whole project was shelved.
Fiona, reading the information on your website, I discovered that before the arrival of Europeans, Brazil was home to at least 1,000 tribes. Today there are only about 200 of these left. A few of them, I believe, are still uncontacted. Now, why is it important they be protected?
Well, I think it's absolutely crucial, because you're really talking about people who are living on the knife edge. They're very, very small, fragmented groups of people who have gone, historically fled from contact, because they know what contact in the past has meant. They've seen their other tribes or relatives simply either killed in violent conflict, or more commonly dying of diseases like the common cold or flu, which can be absolutely lethal to an uncontacted tribe. So they've sought refuge in the very, very headwaters of the Amazonian rivers. And they clearly do not want contact, because they've seen what it's done. And Brazil now has a policy, a good policy, which is not to contact these people unless it is absolutely essential for their survival, and protect their lands and leave them in peace and let them make contact in their own time as and when they want. It's really about giving them space to carry on living and a choice, if you like, respecting that choice. For example, Survival's working on a case of an uncontacted group, and they're simply known as the Rio Pardo Indians, because that's the name of the river they live on. And we know absolutely nothing about them. We don't know what language they speak. We really don't know how many there are, whether they're 20, 30, 40, or 50. But we know they're there. There's evidence of their houses, which they've abandoned in a hurry, which implies they're being forced to flee. And we know they're coming under violent attacks from loggers and land grabbers active in the area. So it's a very urgent situation that if their land is not recognized and it's, if it's not protected, these people will die. And you are talking about extinction, a whole people being wiped out. And I think, you know, we're all aware in this century how precious human life and diversity is. And everybody has the right to life and to live how they wish to. And just because these peoples are uncontacted doesn't mean they don't have the same rights as anybody else.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, that apart from the rights they have to live their lives in self-determination, the diversity of their culture and their knowledge is a richness that is a richness to the rest of the world as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of evidence coming out now from places like the Amazon rainforest of the extraordinary sophisticated skills of these people, the knowledge of these people. And, you know, as we're talking, I mean, the world is facing the issue of climate change and global warming, etc. Studies have shown by U.S. and Brazilian scientists that in many places of the Amazon, the only areas now where you get continuous cover of tropical rainforest are indigenous territories. And in fact, they are now acting as a barrier to, say, fires, which frequently are started in the Amazon because of the burning, you know, burning of the forest to create cattle pasture or soya plantations or whatever. So in fact, you know, these people really have something to show us. And, of course, they're the people who really live ultimately, self-sustainably. It was something that we're all talking about now.